Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm talking this week about a very, very important thing throughout the scriptures given to us by Jesus himself and the apostles echoing it, the importance of understanding that as disciples of Christ, we live in a world that resists the reign and the rule of Christ and the authority of Christ, and that those who are followers of Jesus, those who are baptized into Christ, those who become his disciples, understand and have internalized what Jesus has said to us about following him and the cost. We've counted the cost. We understand Jesus said that the world will hate you because the world hated me. At times in history, the world, big parts of the world, seem to love and respect Christians and Christians in positions of influence. At other times, it's just like it was in Jesus' time. Serious resistance, rejection, anger, rage, confusion, deception, apostasy, all kinds of things happening. And we're now in one of those times, times of tribulation and difficulty. It could be the final tribulation. Who knows? I mean, the final battle. It's only God knows ultimately. But nonetheless, this thing has contours and dimensions of the kind of things that Jesus warned about and the apostles warned about that it's really worth paying attention to. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program the first couple of days this week, I was mainly talking in those programs about the posture that's the normal posture of a disciple. And that is we understand our situation and that what we're called to do is live in a way, communicate in a way that we are faithful witnesses to what Jesus has given to us, what he himself has revealed. And of course, our Lord, the faithful witness, as scripture describes him, was perfectly, the reality of what that means was perfectly revealed on Calvary, which I spoke about, I think, on Tuesday. So if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Best thing to do is download the Renewal Ministries app and the Ave Maria app and just spread the word around. Tell your friends about it. You can listen to the programs at your convenience. Also, friends, if you can, browse our website. We've got a lot of good stuff there to help strengthen friends and brothers and sisters in this difficult time. And if you can, if you have any way you're capable of supporting us financially or in prayer, please do. Please consider that as well. But here, I want to begin today by giving a sense of Jesus's perspective. Matthew chapter 24 is a good example of Jesus describes what things are going to be like at the end time. It both touches on the trial the apostles specifically were going to experience and the destruction of the temple and the reality of what would happen in the first century in Israel, but it also points to the final end that Jesus is referring to. Matthew 24, verse 9 and following. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. These are the clear signs of things that will precede the coming of our Lord. A great trial, a great tribulation. The hearts of men will run cold. Hatred for God and the things of God will arise. There'll be deception. There'll be serious betrayal. False prophets will arise. False religions will arise. And this chilling word in verse 12, and because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. That's the words of Jesus. Most men's love will grow cold. That's a very, very stark picture of what the end times will look like. But then he goes on to say, but he who endures to the end will be saved. This endurance is really one of the fundamental themes of this weekend, something we need to internalize. Friends, as the pressure and the culture heats up, yes, we need to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. We don't need to go looking for a fight, but we need to be living the faith, and we need to be ready if it gets brought to our door. Because the enemy is going to go after I mean, just think of how much is changing and how fast it's changing in our country, for example. And the aggressive way now that laws are being used and weaponized to force people to think and live in ways that are offensive to God, seriously offensive to God. The trial that we're facing, brothers and sisters, is that our culture is embracing things that are radically opposed to the fundamental core of what God has revealed and who we are and who we're meant to be. We can't avoid this stuff. It's just too big. And it's not little like tertiary things on the fringe that we could, okay, we don't have to take a great stand for that. These are fundamentals that the world is going after. You know, what's a man, what's a woman? Everybody decides for themselves. There's 75 different genders. There's, you know, you name it, one thing after another. We can design human beings. We can kill children right up to their first breath. We can even now, you know, take the lives of children that are born alive. We can, you know, we're now the masters of life and death, so we'll determine when each person will determine for themselves when they can die. Just all kinds of things. Prerogatives of God are being taken. Religion is being redefined. What it means, and then this same poison is making its way into the church. And there's voices in the church that have begun to accommodate to the world, to say, hey, look, the church is so irrelevant now. We either need to get with the program and become more relevant and trumpet the things that the world is trumpeting and get along or no. Other voices will say, no, it's God speaking to us through all these things in the world about redefinition of family, redefinition of humanity, redefinition of human sexuality. This is all a kind of thing from God and a revelation. There's voices in the church saying this. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We're called now to stand and to bear witness to the truth and ask the Lord how to do it. So here's this very strong teaching from Jesus, and he's saying, he who endures to the end will be saved. So the Lord's very clear about what's at stake. We have a mission. We have a calling. We have a reason for being, and that's to live the truth and to bear witness to the truth. If we compromise, friends, in order to get along, in order to be in the world and to be a friend of the world, there's a lot of intimidation and fear of the world in the church today that's being exposed. There's a lot of genuflecting to the world, a lot of fear of losing all the great gold that we as a country, so to speak, have acquired for ourselves, the richest, most comfortable, most perpetually entertained country in the history of the world. We don't want to give up all that stuff. I mean, we don't want to do anything that could cause us to lose it. Maybe is another way of saying it. So we're looking for hideouts. We're looking for ways to escape having to bear witness to the truth, to face the consequences of that. That's a great test. And Jesus is reminding us here, this is an enduring reality like he had to endure and the apostles had to endure and many saints in history had to endure. And what makes us different? And there's a false gospel out there, you know, that gets spread around. Jesus just wants us to prosper. Jesus just wants us to be comfortable. Jesus just wants us to be liked by everybody. He doesn't want our life to be upset in any way. That's just a lie. It's got nothing to do with what he taught. It's got nothing to do with why the church exists. It's a completely false understanding of the world that we inhabit and the church's constant struggle and trial in history. So Jesus is exhorting us to stand and to make sure that the gospel of the kingdom, which is what Jesus really came to communicate, and he's counting on his followers to spread the good news of the kingdom, even in the context of trial and difficulty. One of my concerns is, friends, if we miss this opportunity and we, because of the weakness of our faith, we get seduced by the world, become lukewarm and Laodicean, and we compromise again. If we get there, we're going to miss the one thing for which we were called to do, and that's to stand in the truth. This is directly tied to love of God and love of neighbor. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He fulfilled the great commandments, and he reminds us there is no love without the truth. There's no truth without love. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love passage, love is patient and kind. Love never rejoices in what's wrong. The kind of the poison that's coming into the life of the church is to say, no, we can celebrate all these things that people are celebrating in the streets of our cities and the new ways of looking at reality that are coming And this is what love is. So you got all these signs on people's yards. You know, love is love. That's a tautology. It doesn't make much sense. Love is love. What they mean is the kind of, you know, Beatles love and, you know, mushy love and everybody creates their own love and their own bliss. That's what that means. Just affirming everybody's choices. That's not what Jesus came to do. That's not what he did. And we don't have to go after people and to seek a conflict about the choices that we're making. We're not surprised when the world acts worldly as disciples, when the world resists God. We're not surprised. But we should be surprised when the church acts that way. And we're called to live as witnesses of light. And to be light is not to just be kind of mushy way, be giving in to everything that the culture defines as love. We have to stand on what Jesus' definition of love is. And understanding the background of what Jesus is saying is the kind of things that will happen. St. Paul and St. Peter and other apostles say similar things. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 4, St. Paul said, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, and for even to the point of forbidding marriage." Look at the weird stuff that's happening with marriage and the proposals of, I just saw this new website, and a new thing that's going across the country is a movement to become antinatal. That is to be against birth, against procreation. So bizarre. You know, Europe, just a few weeks ago, the European Union saying, well, the fundamental alienable right isn't the right to exist primarily, but it's the right to be able to abort. This is what the recent popes and their prophetic honesty and clarity said. We have stepped into a culture of death. What's a culture? It's the way of life of a people, the habits, what they honor, what they value, how they live, and what they fear. It's either going to be healthy fear of God or it's going to be slavish fear of man and the kingdom of darkness that's manipulating it all. Friends, doctrines of demons are being communicated through deceiving spirits, pressuring people to celebrate, validate, proclaim, and to use whatever force is needed, threat, canceling, laws, you name it, to get people to abandon what they know is true and to declare darkness to be light, to call a circle a square. This is where we are, and we can't escape it. It's actually an amazing moment, and it's a moment of amazing opportunity. There's a battle of whether or not we're going to live and walk in the truth. And as Jesus said, to endure. As John the Apostle said, we share in the tribulation. He's talking to brothers and sisters from seven different churches there in the book of Revelation. He said, "I, John, I know what you're going through. I'm sharing in the tribulation and the rejection by the world as well. But we share in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom has come to us. We're walking in it, and we share the patient endurance in this trial because we know soon we will be with the Lord. And let's die as Jesus did, as faithful witnesses." God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.